This is the Relevant Podcast.
It's episode 1095, and it's the Relevant Podcast here in Orlando. I'm your host, Cameron Strang, and joining me from Loverland, Virginia, is Jesse Carey.
Hello, hello.
From Nashville, Tennessee, artist, producer, mogul, Derek Miner.
What up, doe?
And right down the road, our managing editor, downtown, Emily Brown.
Hey, y'all.
We have a great show in store for you today. Coming up, we talked to Cody Carnes. He has a great new worship album coming out this week. You don't want to miss out on that conversation. We also have a back to school themed game happening at the end of the show you don't want to miss as well. Have y'all noticed, real quick before we move on, that half my finger is heavily bandaged? Have you seen this?
What
it
happened
has made
there?
My life. The tip of my index finger is heavily, heavily bandaged. I can't type very easily with 9 fingers. It is made, you know, you realize when you injure your fingertip and you work with your fingers that it's a major inconvenience. Here's what happened. I didn't think some things through. Okay. So I live on a lake, and the lake had kind of gotten a little overgrown. The reeds had gotten pretty tall, and I've been planning all summer long to get out there one Saturday afternoon and get the electric hedge clippers and just cut them down lower sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And I went this weekend to do that. I finally had enough, and I was like, I can't believe it's already August and I haven't done this yet. I'm going to do it. So I couldn't find the hedge clippers. I couldn't find the electric hedge clippers. And so I got a chainsaw and a machete and thought, I can improvise.
Sir.
One in each hand.
So I go down to the waterfront.
They're not even in the same family.
They cut stuff.
What?
They cut stuff. So I go down there to the waterfront, and I'm using the chainsaw for the big ones or whatever. But I'm like, I just need to clear out the brush. So I get the machete, and I go and swing real hard with my right hand. I'm right-handed. And my left hand received the end of the machete. It split the end of my finger like a hot dog bun. And I mean, it was bad. And so
you are not from Montana. You are from Orlando, Florida. Yeah. Dude. Why do you have a machete?
because I have stuff to cut from time to time. I don't know.
When you're in the hardware store and you walk by the machete section, you're like, you know what? I probably need this for my home.
Probably going to need one of these. Why,
I'm going to buy the boring tool, like the level that
exactly
I came
for. I used it for. Cutting down brush. That's what I used it for.
You need it to charge your hedge clippers and wait.
When I go to the hardware store.
You waited a whole summer. You couldn't have waited 3 hours?
I know, man.
For the hedge clippers to charge up.
Hey, if you heard the last show, we talk about that moment of immediate regret. As the machete is swinging, and I'm realizing this is going to land on my other hand. I had that moment of clarity, but I could not stop the momentum.
I am not a handy person at all. So whenever I go to the hardware store and I reward myself by making an adult purchase, like a level or something like that you should
have. I was going to say, you got to clarify what you mean by an adult purchase.
A tape measure. Because usually I'm just eyeballing stuff, you know, but it's like, no, I'm going to be a grown up here. And I reward myself by buying one awesome tool that also happens to be it. Needless to say, I got five machetes right now.
Yeah, man. Anyway, so my finger hurts a lot. I'm probably going to lose the fingertip. So, yay. I'm going to have typos, Emily. I'm just warning you now.
Are you serious about losing a finger? No, you're not.
It's black and hardening, so probably.
Did you go to the doctor?
Nah, I will. I cleaned it.
Will you go after the finger has fallen off?
How about when we get done recording this podcast?
I think it's too late at this point. That's what. It was 4 days ago.
Go to the doctor.
You know, the longer
I kept it clean. I've kept it clean. It was gushing. I'll send y'all pictures if you want. I was gushing blood for days. It was terrible.
You need stitches.
Well,
that's what you needed. Stitches.
It's stopped now. Mostly, although I did, you can see it's coming through again.
It's
going to be all right.
Latravius strain, bro.
Yeah, I know.
Y'all play with y'all Y'all play too much for me, bro. I ain't
even. You'll be all right.
Hey, but you know what? My lakefront looks beautiful. That got all the reeds. The view looks wonderful. So
you just had to pay with your fingertip.
You know, God is regenerative. He restores our soul and our fingertips. Our flesh heals. We're good.
You said that it's rotting away.
It'll be okay. Listen,
that's
nothing.
What black and hardened means. It means that it's rotting away.
Wait, okay, so you
away.
Cut your finger and you went and bandaged it up. And then did you go back outside and finish doing what you were doing?
No, I was done for the day. Floated in the pool for a bit. But well, yeah, I was done for the day.
If there's anything
you didn't
I know.
Float to the doctor?
No. Listen, did you get chlorine in your finger?
No.
It's all wild. Pool, but
man, wild.
Listen, if there's one thing I know about treating deep open wounds, it's nothing like a little urban lake water and drainage runoff. Wash that thing right out.
Jesse, wash it right out.
Water's
how
water.
Are you still alive?
Water's water, isn't it?
Right, Jesse. I already knew.
Okay.
He's something eating that Jesse and I, drinking Diablo sauce.
It's insanity.
Something that Jesse and I have in common is I grew up in Metro Orlando, but we were living up in the suburbs and I had 80 acres of woods behind my house. Yeah. So snakes and bobcats and vines everywhere. Dude, I was an only child for most of my growing up. And so I'd go out with a machete as a 10-year-old and just climb trees, cut vines, swing like Tarzan through the woods. I set the woods on fire a number of times, but there are times I'd pick up a log with machete in hand. I'd pick up a log and there's a coral snake coiled up underneath it. You just have to immediately.
Those are very poisonous.
Dude, you learn you have to chop its head off immediately before it even knows what's happening. So I'm machete and vines and snakes, and I'm an expert with machetes. So I wasn't worried about it.
Just chop the coral snake's
pause.
Head
you,
off.
You have to.
You just referred yourself as an expert with machetes. Is that a personal
correct
like certification? Did anyone ever tell
in
you
my
that?
Own head, because I grew up with machetes as a child, mm-hmm. and used them extensively. I have my 10,000 hours with machetes. I thought cleaning up my lakefront with a machete would be no problem. You know, it's been a few years, a little rusty, and
the machete
I didn't do it was a clean machete thankfully. But
when I have a job that requires two machetes, it's often like I have a couple moves I use. One is kind of a double chop type of thing, and I just come.
You do the Edward Scissorhands.
One is a helicopter spin, and I found both of those very effective.
You're like a ceiling fan.
Variety of chops, yeah.
All right. Like I said, we have a good show. Moving it along. Stay tuned up next. It's Slices. Why you? You're listening to Adam Melchor. The song is Why You. Not sure what's next after college? Ready to step out of your comfort zone and into something meaningful? Check out the Global Ambassador Program from ELIC. You'll spend 9 months, September to May, on a team of passionate people just like you in Thailand, Tunisia, or Uzbekistan. You'll grow through mentorship, take language classes, immerse yourself in a new culture, and teach English to the local community, all while building real-life skills and making a real impact. Sound good? Head to elic.org/relevant to learn more. Again, that's elic.org/relevant. Okay, it's time for
Slices.
What do you have, Jesse?
I have a very strange campaign from a company called Right Brand Bacon, and they say they make bacon the right way, and it's WRIGHT.
Got it.
Not familiar with this particular brand of bacon, but that's why they came up with a campaign like this, because they want to reward excellent bacon. Now, that is the product that we all like to consume at breakfast and, on our BLTs, but also people that happen to be named Bacon. They are having a contest right now where if your last name is Bacon, you can fill out a form and submit a video to talk about why you are deserving of $10,000, just for being a good representative of Bacon. And actually, four people. All you got to do, your name is Bacon, go submit a form over at betterbacons.com and let people know why you are a good representation of the word bacon, because by factors that are of no control of your own, that is your last name. So
you know about the name thing with Subway, right? We covered this, but there's an update. Okay. So we covered this about a month ago. Subway did a promotion this summer. They're doing a contest that if you will be willing to legally change your name to Subway, you will get sandwiches for life for free.
Okay. How long does my name have to change?
You go to the courthouse. They will pay for the legal fees to legally change your name to Subway.
I'd legitimately.
Your first name, or can it be your last name?
As long as... I don't know. Emily, you wrote the slice. We posted this like a month ago.
I know. I'm trying to remember.
Exactly. I just think maybe your first name. Like maybe McLovin.
But maybe maybe it's one name. You just have to
be like McLovin. You're called Subway. Anyway, 10,000 people applied.
I wish 10, I knew. I'd have did
10,000.
It.
10,000 people applied so they get free Subway for life.
I consider that. Have you been to Subway recently? It's not cheap.
Oh, they...
Like, really? I bought, I came, I got one.
What happened to the $5 footlongs? They don't do that anymore?
Inflation.
Yeah, we're long gone. Yeah, thanks. Uh-huh. Thanks, Bidenomics. Those are long. No, they haven't certified that. Like, sub of the week, $5 footlong, the Subway stamps. Dude, you're living in the past, man. Like,
I haven't been to Subway since college, man.
They haven't been doing that since Netflix was delivering.
There's so many better sandwich options. All right.
Well, agree to disagree. They don't have sandwich makers. They get sandwich artists working there, Cameron. And
give me Jersey Mike's any day. Jersey Mike's. Fresh sliced right in front of you. Good stuff.
Subway is still unassailable.
Give me Publix.
Publix.
I came home.
Yeah.
I came home with a footlong Subway club, no extra anything. It was over $20. It was like, I might as well have gone to a sit down restaurant. But you know,
that's
what?
More than Publix. That's crazy.
I was satisfied all day. Yeah, it was an entire foot of deli meat.
I still think the bacon thing. You should be able. You should change your first name to Bacon, like because.
No, it's if your name is Bacon already.
I mean,
isn't it?
Yeah,
I know, but I think it should only be people whose first name is Bacon to see if there's anyone
else. I think it should be people whose last name is Bacon who are willing to also change their first name to Bacon so that you can only be named Bacon Bacon.
I like it.
And then we'll give you $10,000.
All right. What do you have, Derek?
So this one is a little bit heavier, but it's pretty near and dear to my heart. So two-thirds of American families have admitted to having addiction affect them. So either actually being addicted to drugs or alcohol or having a family member that's addicted to drugs or alcohol.
Two-thirds.
Two-thirds. Wow. So, I always feel like this one always burdens me a little bit because I know, you know, obviously when you think about black people on the war on drugs, like it was criminalized, but now... Two-thirds of Americans now is not just isolated to black communities. So now it's a mental health crisis. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And it's really near and dear because that's how my dad passed away. He OD'd. So it's like just different people in my life that I know that are either addicted or OD'd, et cetera, et cetera. But I just want to put this out here for people that are struggling with that or, you know, that our families, because people don't know how much that affects the families as well, dealing with somebody with addiction, just making sure that you know you're not alone, you're not unseen, and that there's no shame in actually going to go get some help if you're, you know, struggling with addiction or you got a family member that's struggling with it. Like, this is an epidemic that we all got to reach in and wrap our hands around our family members that's struggling and try to get them some help, so...
Yeah, man. All right. What do you have, Emily?
I want to end things on just a good note. There's a new study that came out that found that performing acts of kindness improves your mental health. And it really is just this idea.
This is true.
This idea of like if you help someone, it kind of gets you out of your own mindset, and it reminds you that there are good things happening in the world, and you're also part of those good things happening. And like, there's a lot of things, you know, we can do to improve your mental health, but one of them is just do an act of kindness for someone. And, you know, it doesn't have to be a big life-changing thing. It can literally just be, I don't know, opening the door for someone. Like, it just, doing something to kind of get you out of your own mind helps improve you, your mental health, and reminds you of the world around you is not always terrible.
You know, I can test this. The other day, I noticed that an elderly neighbor of mine, their shrubs were overgrown. Without even asking, I came over and spent about 90 minutes wildly flailing around their yard, spinning, using the helicopter method with two machetes while they just looked out the window. Now, even though their face looked horrified and confused, it warmed my heart to know that those shrubs were significantly trimmed.
That's why
back.
Your mental health is so good.
You gotta chill out.
I felt great after. And then I waved bye-bye with the machetes to the neighbor with the machetes as they stared at me, and then I disappeared. It just felt good, you know. It felt
Cameron scissor hands.
Like I said, and I think it's better to let your action speak. So, like I said, I said nothing before or after this incident, and just wanted them to know that, you know, just experience an act of kindness, even if that act of kindness was a strange man flailing around with machetes in their backyard for the better part of an afternoon. So
I'm realizing I need to leave machetes alone, because I have a V-shaped scar on the same finger where when I was a kid in the woods, I found some bamboo rods. And so I cut the bamboo down and I was to whittle it into a fishing pole.
Whittle.
So, you know, they have all the shoots, you know, and so you're like cutting the shoots off with the machete. And so I'm holding it with my left hand, the base of the bamboo, and I'm cutting the shoots with my right hand down. And the shoot gave, and the machete went right into my finger bone. I could literally see the bone, but I would get in trouble because I was 10. I should have been playing with machetes. And so I never told my parents. So I have the scar. So this one finger has been attacked by machetes twice. So probably
so maybe we've learned a lesson here. That we're not actually a machete expert.
I have machete experience. How's that?
Hey, no.
But not you positive experience.
You are mutilating yourself.
Just one finger.
Wait, you just know one what? Finger. A good act of
you
kindness.
Don't want your, what, you want nine fingers? That's no, what you're telling me.
No, I don't. I'm really mad at myself.
You should perform an act of kindness to yourself and not pick up a machete, and that will improve your mental health and physical health, I think.
And my finger health. Yeah, for
just
sure.
Just a tip.
Okay.
Listen, you got one mind to keep healthy. You got 10 fingers. So live your life is what that's all I'm saying.
So you're saying I should go clean up the lakefront of all my neighbors, because it's the same reed system that's clogging it all up.
I'm going to come to your house and throw your machete in the lake.
In the lake, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to do.
It'll wash up on the shore, but it'll be rusty. But I'll go, it's right here. I'll just use it. Anyway.
I found sometimes rusty machetes are even more effective. So...
All right, that'll do it for Slices. Make sure to check out relevantmagazine.com every weekday, where we're covering more stories like that. Okay, stay tuned. Up next, Cody Carnes joins us. Stand on who we are. We tried everything, ain't got much more. I'm your muse, huh? Pedal me like I'm your drug. Pedal me like we're in love, say. Listening to Bakar, the song is Right Here for Now. She was a chronic people pleaser with an unfulfilling career in Hollywood until she surprised everyone by joining a convent. Equal parts tell all and rallying cry, Sister Monica Claire's memoir, A Change of Habit, reveals how much we stand to gain when we fully embrace our authentic selves. Sister Helen Prejean says it's, quote, for anyone who needs a little love, a little faith right now. A Change of Habit, Leaving Behind My Husband, Career, and Everything I Owned to Become a Nun by Sister Monica Claire is available now wherever books are sold. Well, our guest today is Cody Carnes. He's a worship leader at the Belonging Co. in Nashville. He's the husband of Carrie Job. And he is releasing a brand new album this Friday called Firm Foundation. We sat down with him to talk about the message behind the new album and how he hopes to build up the church with a new movement. Here's our conversation with Cody Carnes.
We chatted on God is Good, right? I remember.
We did, yeah. Because you recorded both of that album and this new one that was recorded at TBCO, right?
Yes. Yeah, and I actually recorded this album before God is Good, the night before. So,
So you've been sitting on this for a while.
Yeah. It was kind of intentional that way.
I mean, I feel like that is still a long time, though. Are you ready to just like have this album out there and these songs out there?
Very much so. It's interesting tension because I love God is Good, and God is Good, it still feels like a new album, you know? And so it's been that weird tension of like, oh, I can't wait for these Firm Foundation songs to be out. But at the same time, I'm not ready to say bye to God is Good necessarily, you know, because usually as an artist, when you're releasing a new album, you're like, oh, those songs are so old. I'm so tired of them. I'm ready for the new thing. It's like, no, everything still feels fresh, you know? And when I'm leading the songs on God is Good now live, it feels like people are just now kind of attaching to them and singing them. And, you know, so it's been really, really interesting as an artist to experience that.
Yeah, that is interesting. Do you feel like, since you recorded them so close together, do you feel like these albums are like similar? Are they kind of related, or do you feel like they're very different?
I think they're similar in the fact that they're live and they're congregational songs. I mean, that's really the heart of them. They're for the church. I do feel like they very much took on their own kind of, for lack of a better word, they took on their own kind of brand and vibe, and I think God is Good has this kind of some of this grit to it, you know, and it really kind of was portrayed in basically like, you know, turning the whole room like turning into just like a club vibe with all the black fixtures and the rock and roll, you know, vinyl banner up, you know, and it did kind of have this like kind of this grit to it, where I feel like Firm Foundation feels very like centered for the church, and just these like really like church congregational songs. I think
is there like a message or something that kind of like ties the songs on Firm Foundation together?
There is, you know, and I would say that the messages are somewhat connected to the two albums. God is Good was written out of I basically wrote, I don't know if I told you this last time because I don't think I was ready to talk about it, but I wrote the title track, Good Can't Be Anything Else. I wrote it. It was the first song I wrote after my dad passed away, which was the hardest moments I've ever walked through in my life. It was very sudden, very tragic. And basically 6 weeks after that, I wrote Good because I felt the presence of God so strong in that time. I'm in my deepest moment of grief, and at the same time, I'm feeling the presence of God stronger than I'd ever felt it in my life. So it was like this crazy contrast of, I don't like the hard season I'm walking through, but at the same time, I wouldn't trade the presence of God in this season for anything. And I just had this revelation of just God, Jesus as the comforter, walking me through, you know, that season, and just how good God is, that we can go through those really, really hard times, and he's not distant. He's near. He's near to the brokenhearted. He rescues those who are crushed in spirit, Psalm says, you know. And so Good was the first song that I wanted to write because I just wanted to tell God how good he was in a really hard season. And I also have learned that we're not meant to set up camp in those moments of disappointment, in those valley seasons. Yes, we're going to experience them, but we're meant to pass through them. And I've learned that praise is really helpful to pass through them, because God's goodness is true regardless of what anything looks like. And if I can connect my soul to praise God for his goodness in those seasons, it helps me just pass through those valleys. I don't set up camp in that disappointment for years and years and years and years. It doesn't fester, you know? And so that's really, God is Good album is that. And in the same way, Firm Foundation is, it's a collection of songs. It's very similar. You know, Firm Foundation was the first song I wrote in the pandemic. That was like October 2020. And so, you know, when we're all feeling the things that we felt, when we're all feeling the uncertainty, I mean, I was like on the verge of a panic attack for a couple weeks there. And Firm Foundation was the song that I woke up one morning and God said, you're going to sing your way out of this today. And I said, okay, how are we going to do that? You know, almost kind of sarcastically, like, I don't know, you know, what's happening?
Yeah,
I don't want to have to do anything today, you know? And he started giving me the idea for Firm Foundation. And as I'm writing it, I'm literally watching my heart turn from full on panic anxiety to just joy in chaos, peace that makes no sense, like the song talks about. And then, you know, connecting it to the scripture and the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 6, when Jesus is like, you build your house on me and what I've taught you and who I am and my nature and my character, you build your life on it. Everything can come against you and you will not go down, you know? And so they're very similar in that way, you know? And there's songs on this that are, you know, declarations of the authority of the blood of Jesus. There's songs like Bless God. That is kind of that same thing as God is Good, where I will bless God at all times in every season. His praise will ever be on my lips because it's just so good for the soul, you know? So there are a lot connected in that way. They came out of the same 18 months of my life, which was basically pandemic and losing my dad and just a lot of hard things. They came out, I feel like, some rich soil of walking through some hard stuff and clinging to the promises of God, you know, in those seasons.
It's really beautiful to hear how these songs have already impacted your life and just your walk in these last few years. What do you hope people take away when they hear these songs, like, for their own life?
I think it is those lyrics in Firm Foundation. I've still got joy and chaos. I've got peace that makes no sense. I won't be going under. I'm not held by my own strength because I've built my life on Jesus. You know, that really is the theme. You could pick out any song of this album, and they're all different, and they're all written around very different scriptures. But you know, I hope that it's an album that just encourages people to pass through the valleys, to pass through, you know, whatever they're walking through, to be encouraged. I hope it leads them in those praise moments, in those deep moments, in the presence of God. You know, that really is, that's the prayer.
That was Cody Carnes. Make sure to check out his new album, Firm Foundation. It comes out this Friday. Also coming out on Friday will be the rest of that conversation with him. There will be an interview over at relevantmagazine.com covering a bunch of stuff you did not hear on the show today. All right, check it out. Stay tuned. Up next, it's Degree of Wisdom. Yeah, 'cause 6 years later, can't explain it. Look at where we at. Yeah, I've been drowning. I've been asking why we're called the loudest. If we were never lost, then we would never know what found us. I put no wish in no fountains. I just remember the mountains. Moving when we were surrounded. How many times he found us. Yeah, and said his love regardless. He will work it all together like he promised. If I don't get it, Lord, please help me recall this. And now you're listening to KB and Lecrae. The song is Miracles. Okay, well, right now, think about it. It's late August. People are going back to campus. College students are going back to school. College football is about to ramp up. High schools are kicking off. So we thought what we would do is a life advice segment on the show, because a lot of you guys are starting up a new semester, new year. You have some questions, concerns, fears. We got wisdom out the wazoo on this cast. And so we thought you guys could ask us the things that you want to know. And we've been there, done that. We can help you navigate this season of life. It is time for Degree of Wisdom. Mm-hmm. All right. So this is you guys. We hit you up on social media and you send in questions for the cast about, you know, all the stuff, all the stuff you're doing.
Well, we've been talking this whole episode about how wise Cameron and Jesse are with their machetes. So
Jesse has done college better than any person I know. So if you have any college life questions, this is
I'd love to help you.
To ask.
Jesse, yeah. How do you feel about that endorsement?
Right. I feel like I'm surprised that hasn't been articulated earlier by more people.
Should be your Twitter bio. All right, here we go. Carrie said she's on her own for meals for the first time, going off to school, and she wants to know: is it okay to just eat cereal for dinner 3 times a week?
Yeah, absolutely. Of course. What possible?
Ramen and cereal is all you eat the first year of college.
Yeah. But don't be afraid to throw in some actual protein. Just a pro tip. No. Oh, sorry. Let's hear from Mr. Diablo himself. What do you have to say, Jesse?
How did y'all make ramen in your dorm rooms? Did you have hot plates and junk like that? Because I had to get more inventive than that.
I had a microwave.
How did y'all make ramen? We weren't allowed to.
I had a hot plate.
I scrambled eggs on a George Foreman.
Yeah.
Don't play with me.
I made grilled cheese with an iron. Like a clothing iron. And I'll say this. With a little butter on there, my clothes smelled delicious, too. I'd walk in a room, people were like, oh, man, someone making rolls in here? Cheese. Yeah, it smells amazing.
I had like a mini coffee pot in my desk in my dorm room. And so I would put the ramen noodles in the coffee pot, run the hot water, you know, the coffee would pour onto it, and you could just use the coffee carafe as a bowl. So it's
perfect. Why didn't they let you have a microwave, and why did they let you have a coffee pot?
Because I was in a very old dorm and the wiring couldn't handle everybody having microwaves. And so you were allowed to have like a little coffee pot and nothing else. So
we had a microwave. The microwave was already in our dorms, but the way that it, like where it was kind of like bolted into the wall. So I guess so we couldn't steal it, which makes sense. But they placed it in the worst spot because it was right in front or right underneath the smoke detector. And so many, many times at like 2 a.m., we would all have to leave the dorm building because someone burnt their popcorn and then opened up the microwave and it set off the smoke alarm.
Well, like, that's why we took our smoke alarm down after a little smoke grenade incident. Problem solved right there.
Grenade?
Problem solved. Yeah.
I can't remember how we came upon it. Just don't worry about it.
I'm worried.
Anyway.
I'll say it.
All right. Brian just graduated, and he's concerned about how to start tackling his student loan debt. Mm-hmm. He asked, because payments will kick up, I think, in October. He asked, how can I manage my finances while working towards a debt-free future? This is probably more of a Derek question.
Well, the sarcastic answer is a lot of prayer.
Yeah, for real.
Is your last name Bacon? Yeah.
Yeah, a lot Subway of has an opportunity. Subway's doing this.
That's the sarcastic answer. But the practical answer is going to be, honestly, it's just going to be taking time and chipping away. I would say that the less debt that you can accrue, the better. You know, for me, what I've done with my debt is I took the debt snowball approach that Dave Ramsey talks about, which is pay off all of your smaller debts and then take the money that you've used and then just make it a bigger payment on the biggest debt. And then take that money and then put it towards your student loan. That may take a longer time, but I think that's more practical. But I think the main thing to do is, as right now, if you're like, man, I want to tackle student loan debt, the main thing that you need to do is to make sure you're not accruing silly debts. Like, you know, man, even for me, I know I didn't have a car payment. I bought my first new car like 2-3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it was because I was just taking that money and just paying off all of my debt. So now I'm very liquid. So now I can go get a car without having to feel stressed out. So hopefully that helps out a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Steven,
has this person heard of NFTs? Just throw it out there. Brian. Good.
Brian.
Whatever you do.
Brian, don't listen to Jesse.
Do not listen to what he just said.
Steven says, I'm over halfway through my degree and realized I want to do something totally different. Should I change my plan or just stick it out?
Look. I think we've discussed this ad nauseum. I've never asked anyone that degree does not matter, man. Just finish it out. Don't incur more, to Derek's point, more student debt.
Like, don't add years on to your college.
Just graduate.
Your college debt.
Nobody cares, just man. It. Nobody cares.
Unless you're doing like a complete, you know, like if you're going to, you were a teacher, now you want to be a doctor, maybe get a few years of education in there.
Yeah,
but
that's why I would say the only thing that I would say is worth changing your degree for is something that you can absolutely use your degree for. Now, if you're like, I was a teacher, but I want to be a philosopher, I want to go to school for philosophy, do not do that. Just see it through, do whatever. But if you're like, man, I want to be a dentist, you got to change it.
Yeah.
Because that absolutely needs to be.
Depends on what country. So, I'm just throwing it out there. Anyway, continue.
Whoa.
What? What country? Never mind. We can't go there.
There's some unlicensed. There's some countries that are friendly to unlicensed dentists. That's all I'm saying.
I think I'm more concerned that you know that. Like, not that that's a thing, but the fact, because that makes me think you've looked into it.
So
I don't need the government telling me who can and can't work on my teeth. Okay, Emily.
All right.
I need a fancy piece of paper telling me.
Erica didn't quite understand the assignment. She apparently has had a rough go of it with her college dating life. She says, here's her question. Where are all the brave men?
Ooh,
she goes, I won't go on a rant, but I do notice a lot of Christian men who are afraid to pass the friend threshold. This is why so many women date non-Christians, because Christian guys rarely can just keep it casual and go on a date, give it a chance. What are your thoughts on this? Erica's had some stories, I'm sure.
I'm not trying to be funny, but this reminds me of when the girl says, where are all the guys with no girls?
Uh-huh.
And then there's like the guy makes the chart and he's like, I think like this is one of those situations, but I don't know Erica's situation. So Emily, you want to toss this one up?
Yeah, I mean, she is speaking a lot of women's truth right now. No, I mean, just to be honest, like, yeah, there are plenty of single guys I know that it's like they're being told. I don't know. I have a lot of thoughts about this. Yeah, it is interesting. So I think I've talked about this before. Like, I've never dated a guy. And it's not because I have not put myself out there. It's because that feeling hasn't been reciprocated, and that's fine. It's their loss. But it is frustrating because it's like, I think so many women, it's like they just want a chance to go on a date with a guy. And there's so many guys that it's like they aren't even giving the chance for a date. Whereas I feel like women, that's why they end up dating non-Christians, because it's like, well, at least I'll give it a chance, see if there's something there. It is weird.
So wait a second. So what you're saying, I need to.
Yeah.
My brain needs to, because I've been married for 15 years, so I'm out the game. Sure. Right. So what you're saying is that Christian men are afraid to date, while guys that aren't Christians are more afraid or are more open to dating someone and building a relationship.
I think it's because
that's crazy, because I'm thinking, in my mind, I thought that Christian people got married a lot earlier and quicker in that. So I'm like,
but I think the growing up in the church, you know, you're told like, hey, if that's not your wife, that's somebody else's wife. Keep your distance unless you know. And like whatever. Whereas non-Christians are more okay, like, hey, yeah, okay, we can go out and date and whatever. It's not that serious. We can have fun dating, getting to know each other. Like Christian guys are told like, nah, until you know who God called you, that she's the one. Don't act like she's attractive.
And I think women are also taught like, I mean, I know that we're also taught like being intentional and, you know, looking for the right guy, but you get to a certain point where you're like, okay, well, none of the Christian guys are asking me out, but this guy who's not a Christian, but he's not a bad guy, he's asking me out. I'll give it a shot because I want to be in a relationship. Like, it's just like,
yeah, I want to go out. I want to be taken on dates. Yeah. Like, and all the Christian guys won't ask me.
Huh. Is this a derivative of the purity culture?
Yeah.
Pushback? Is that kind of where people are at now? Is like,
I think it's a factor. I think that there are a lot of lessons we were taught that at their core, I understand where they're coming from. Like, I think that there were some good messages taught in purity culture.
I think love is blind pods at Christian colleges. Okay. We all know the pod situation, right? It's a great,
I haven't watched it. What is it? Oh, the little rooms where you talk, but you can't see each other.
Yes. We've seen marriages result. Have we not?
Yeah.
I think Christian colleges need love is blind pods where singles can meet in a non, you know.
I think Christian colleges are fine getting people married. I'm talking about non-Christian colleges.
Churches. I'll go as far as to say churches.
The singles ministry
needs love is blind pods.
A room of just love is blind pods.
Exactly. In churches. Problem
all right,
solved.
Well, you know what? I like this. Maybe we'll come back to it in a few weeks. That's Degree of Wisdom. Thanks for sending in questions. Before we wrap things up, I want to thank Cody Carnes for joining us today. Make sure to check out his album, Firm Foundation, comes out this Friday. And also, like I mentioned, we have a whole bunch of interview that we had with him. It was great. We just didn't have time on the show. So we're going to run it over at relevantmagazine.com, which we're doing more of now, by the way. So if you hear an interview that you like, just know that there's a lot more where that came from. And we have it over at the website. Also, while you're at the website, check out the summer issue of Relevant. We have a great cover story with Lauren Daigle. We talk to faith leaders like Christine Kane, Jude and Chelsea Smith, artists like Arizona and Naomi Rain. It's a great collection of content. We'd love for you to check it out. Help us get word out, share it. Tell us what you think. If you're somebody who likes to pay for their content because you hate ads and you want a better reading experience, we got you. We got you covered. Relevant Plus is just that. You get a premium reading experience. You get an enhanced edition of the digital magazine, ad-free unlimited reading at relevantmagazine.com, plus all of our mag archives. You get an ad-free version of this podcast, an exclusive weekly subscriber podcast, and more. Plans start as low as $250 a month. We'd love the support. We think you'll like it. You can check out all the information on the Relevant Plus tab over at relevantmagazine.com. Also, I mentioned it a couple times, but we are still looking for a podcast editor / video editor for this show, part-time / freelance. We're looking for a social media content manager. We're looking for a project manager. All the information is at relevantmediagroup.com, our corporate page. The jobs are right there. You can apply right there on the site as well. If you're really good at what you do, we'd love to hear from you. Okay, on that note, we'll wrap it up. I'm Cameron Strang.
I'm Jesse Carey.
I'm Derek Miner.
I'm Emily Brown.
We will see you on Friday. Have a great week, everyone.
Thanks for listening to the Relevant Podcast. Check out our features, interviews, and news updates every day at relevantmagazine.com. And make sure to follow Relevant on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram for the latest. For more great podcasts, browse the shows on the Relevant Podcast Network, which you can find at our site. And while you're there, don't miss the all-new era of Relevant Magazine. A new issue releases every other month at relevantmagazine.com.
I felt great after.
Relevant Podcast Network.
At Ritual, Mother's Day is kind of a big deal, and we're celebrating accordingly. Find your ritual
If mom needs a bit of stress relief, digestive support, or is looking to support glowy, smooth skin, do it today with 40% off your first month for a limited time at ritual.com/podcast. That's ritual.com/podcast for 40% off your first month. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.